Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
And to the ministers of his gospel, which really is all of us, and to the honorees in this celebration, Pastor Nate and Gail, it's a divine privilege to have this opportunity to share. When I'm in this midst, I'm kind of always, I'm looking forward to hearing one of y'all preach. And so I'm honored to be able to speak this evening. May the works I've done speak for me. May the works I've done speak for me. When I'm resting in my grave and there's nothing to be said, may the works I've done speak for me. May the life I live speak for me. May the life I live speak for me. When I'm resting in my grave and there's nothing more to be said, may the life I live, may it speak for me. May the service I give speak for me. May the service I give speak for me. When I've done all that I can and my friends don't understand, may the service I give speak for me. The works I've done sometimes seem so small. Sometimes it seems like nothing at all. But Lord, I'm a leaning and depending on you. If I do right, you'll see me through. May the works I've done speak for me. Lord, we thank you for your goodness tonight, oh God. Thank you for your presence in this place. Father, we thank you that you're already here. You're already ministering to our hearts, Lord. We thank you for the years of service, not just in Washington, but a lifetime of service. And we celebrate with Pastor Nate and with Pastor Gail. We congratulate them. We love them and surround them with love. Now, Lord, we come to preach Christ and him crucified. Amen. To lift him up, who said, "All, if I be lifted up from the earth, I shall draw all men unto me." So we lift you up. We exalt you. We praise you. We reverence your name in this place. Have your way in our midst. And we be careful to praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we started House of Oaks Ministries, our church, I attended a massive number of trainings. My goodness. In order to educate myself in the arena of church planting. I wanted to learn everything I could about starting a church and starting a successful church. And it was a 3-year intensive education. We conducted 3 pre-launch services, as was recommended. And then on the day that we launched, there were 150 people gathered in the Tukwila Elementary School cafeteria. The next week, after we had 150 people, the next week, there were 75 people. And eventually we settled for several years with an average of 61 people in the church. We were forced to move from the Tukwila Elementary School. No one could use their facilities during the summers. And so we moved to an entirely new location. Victorious Life, we know. Say amen. Like from Tukwila to the CD. And after moving, the 61 moved down to 34. And eventually we gained a little momentum and averaged out to 44 people. We were courting a church by what I believe was God's instruction and his call for us to be in the Tukwila area. And so we courted a church, and eventually we integrated with that church. And after totally integrated, for the next 2 years, we began to see House of Oaks Ministries decline. I started out wanting to build a successful church. The only problem I realize now is that in Matthew 16:18, Jesus said that upon this rock, I will build my church. And he said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's so powerful. Just believe. Believe that you receive. Okay. I'm always singing Anna's songs. Oh, is that your song? Yeah. Go ahead, girl. Let me give the right credit where the credit is due. That's a beautiful song. And so I believe if Jesus said, I will build my church, then Jesus will build his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Look at your neighbor and say, this church will not die. This church will not die. Because Jesus is building it, and he said that the gates of hell will not prevail or overcome it. The problem nowadays is that a lot of what we're building is not God-inspired. God has not really called us to build brick and mortar. He really has not called us to build a church, as I mistakenly believed. He has not called us to, as Pastor Harold said so well on yesterday, he has not called us to be kings over our little empires. But he has called us to a certain work. Somebody say work. Well, just if you want a theme, we'll just be talking about speak to me. Speak for me. Speak for me. Work. He's called us to a certain work. In fact, Jesus said in John 14 and 12, what version of the Bible are you displaying there, brother? Oh, he can't keep up with me, huh? Okay. New King James. I believe I'm doing NIV. Can you work it? Oh, these brothers are so bad. Last time I spoke at Pastor Nate's church, I'm playing with the scripture. This brother already got it on the screen. They'll have you looking funny. Jesus said in John 14, 12, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. You hear that? The works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. What works did Jesus do? What work was Jesus about? What is the work that Jesus did that we are supposed to do? First, let's look at the work that Jesus did, the work that he said that we do also. First, let's look at the mission statement of Jesus in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. Jesus gives his mission statement, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That was his mission statement. He said, "The things that I do, the works I do, you shall do." So what is our mission statement? The same as Jesus. Now, one thing, well, a lot of us, we want to do works, but we don't want the Spirit of the Lord upon us. And so in order to have the Spirit of the Lord on us, we have to spend some time on our knees and in his presence. Early in his ministry, the scripture says that Jesus, being led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil for how many? For 40 days. I think he went without eating. He fasted and prayed for 40 days. Nowadays, folks get saved, the enemy comes, and you wonder where they went. But we need the Spirit of the Lord to be on us. This is so key to doing God's work, to be anointed by the Spirit of God to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for those who are prisoners. And folks, prisoners are not just those who are locked up behind bars. Folks are captive and prisoners to sin and to habits and to other people and to so many things, to bring recovery of sight to those who are blind. And I pray that your eyes would be open today so that you see the works that will speak for you. Now, what did he come to do? Luke 19 and 10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." He came to seek and to save the lost. Now, in business, this is what might be called a big, hairy, audacious goal. They call it a BHAG. Jesus's big, hairy, audacious goal was to seek and to save the lost. He didn't grab a corner of the synagogue and stay there and preach and say, "Oh, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Come on in. Come on in. Come on in." But he came to seek. More than he was in the church, he was in the streets. Called us to do the same thing. Acts 10 and 38 talks about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. And how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. That was his work. And remember John 14 and 12. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. If you're taking notes, his work is our work. His work is my work. His work is your work. It's not just the preacher's work. It's not just the deacon's work. It's not just the elder's work. His work is my work. Can you say that? His work is my work. His work is my work. So this means that the works we should do is not a guessing game. All we have to do is look at what Jesus was doing, and we know what we should be doing. You don't have to guess. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to kind of throw up a fleece. You don't have to, kind of try to figure it out. His work is your work. It's his commandment. He says in John 14, 14, that if you love me, keep my commandments. He summed up his commands in Matthew 22, 36 through 39. Listen to this. As this person comes to Jesus and he says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." That's the greatest, to love God. He said, "This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second, if I can sum it up, the second is just like it. It's like it. The second, love your neighbor as yourself." In fact, the second proves that you're doing the first. Because in 1 John, he says, that how can you say you love God who you don't see and hate your brother that you see every day? Devil's a lie, and the truth is not in him. In essence, this is at the core of the problem that the religious leaders of that day had with Jesus. He was speaking a language that was contrary, that was outside of the law, and so they were amazed and they were flabbergasted that he spoke with such authority. And he pushed past all the traditions and all the rituals and all the rules that the church of that day, the church folks, were imposing upon the people. He was saying to the people, "Get off the treadmill of religion and trying to make yourself right with God and or earn your rights with God." He said, "Stop the race and receive my grace. Receive the unmerited." Yeah, they'll be rapping about that soon. "Receive grace, the unmerited favor of God." So your work is not trying to go through hoops and be religious and do this and do that to make yourself right with God. That is not the works, because you are saved already by grace. I don't know. I can't repeat the words, but Marquise and those guys, boy, I was like listening to them yesterday, and I was like, man, these guys are so theologically deep. I mean, I love rappers. I was like, man, there's some of them rappers. I'm like, I want to go to his church. He was talking about something. We do the grace and faith and Bob. Can you repeat that word? How you blend faith and grace and Bob? Okay, he can't even remember. That was a good hook, brother. That was some theology. I can't say it like you said it. But Jesus, these church folks were upset with Jesus. And I'm not sure if Jesus were here today that he would actually feel welcomed in our churches. If we think about it, these religious folks, and even some religious folks today, they have a problem with any real movement of God. With anything God wants to do new, because we just hold on to the thing. We don't do it that way. We never did that. That's not our tradition. That's not the way we function. That's not the way we operate. I seen a preacher that was so lost. We were at a funeral, and the family member, the Spirit of God was in the funeral. And the family member went up to the preacher and said, "Can you give an altar call?" And the preacher said, "Well, if you want to do that, you can do it, but that's not in my faith tradition." I'm like, in your faith? I'm thinking, you don't have no faith. Because faith without works is dead. Show me your faith without works, and I'll show you faith by my works. I don't think Jesus would be welcome. Look at Luke chapter 7, verse 33 through 37. How are we doing? I don't know when I got up here, but I don't want to hold you all night. "For John the Baptist came neither eating nor drinking wine, and you say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, 'He's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is proved right by all her children." In other words, the wise can discern. What would we say today if we would see some hairy dude kind of draped with animal skins on it? On his body, you know, walking around eating grasshoppers and insects, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is come." We'd say he's crazy, and we'd look at this guy Jesus, and we'd be like, "Man, he is a serious liberal. He hangs out in the club. He's comfortable around prostitutes, and he kicks it with the rich and famous. Did you see him over there at Zacchaeus' house? Maybe he's in the mafia." I believe as a church we have sheltered ourselves too much and for too long from the very people that God has called us to reach. That we are too comfortable in our holy huddles, too comfortable to go out and make a real difference for Christ. We ask God to send them in, Lord. Send them, Jesus. And then we wait, as in John 4 and 35. It says, "Don't you have a saying, 'It is still 4 months until harvest'? But I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields, for they are ripe for harvest." The fields are white, are ripe for harvest. And Jesus tells us in Matthew 28, 18 and 19, he says that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe or teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus did not call us to having a secluded church experience, but the church is really about an unleashed army of people that are hitting the world and calling men to repentance and into the knowledge of His Son, Jesus Christ. He says, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And some will say, oh yeah, that's good, Jesus. But really He's saying, because I have all authority, I'm giving that authority to you. And in that authority, go and make disciples. And really, we do that in obedience to His great commandment. It's centered in love. If it wasn't centered in love, we'd all be Jehovah Witnesses. The people that I saw at 8 o'clock this morning, dressed to the T. I'm like, dang, they dressed. I just threw something on. I'm like, dang, do they have church on Saturday too? And they were walking down the street with their awake. They had the magazines and they was, you know, talking to folks right down the street here. And the reason they do this is because they want to be a part of that 144,000 people. They want to be a part of the 144,000. And so they work their way for salvation. Every religion, if you look at every religion, that's the basis of their faith, is that they're working. If I sell some more bean pies, if I just do some more good deeds, and I just need to work my way into heaven. But in Jesus, it's by faith you're saved through grace. And it's not of works, but it's because of the gift of God. Lest any man should boast. He has the authority, and in that authority, go and make disciples, not converts. We got too many people saying, well, at the crusade, I raised my hand, gave my life to Jesus, but you continue to live the way you lived and to do the things that you're doing. This process is about multiplication. Some can say addition. As I said, the Lord added to the church, but it was kind of some quick addition. Seemed like multiplication. But this is the process. Obey, enlist, and teach to obey. Obey, enlist, and teach to obey. And those that obey, obey, enlist, and teach to obey. And there's no one who is exempt from that process. There's no one who operates outside of that power. Acts 1 and 8 says, you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Okay, I went to the King James. That's okay, you understand. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and unto the ends of the earth. Power. Whew. To witness, to make disciples, to teach them to obey, to teach them to love God and to love people, and to go and to make disciples and to baptize folks. If you're not baptizing folks, we're not going and making disciples. It's a good test. Nobody being baptized? What's happening? That's how we can evaluate our progress. Okay. Jesus said to go. Go to the highways and to the hedges. Go into the bars and into the nightclubs. Go into the streets and into the alleyways. Into the hospitals and into the nursing homes. Go into the prisons and into the strip club. Wherever you're... Okay, y'all ain't with me. Can I get a witness? Wherever you find people oppressed, go. Wherever you find people sick, go. Wherever you find people in bondage, go. Wherever you find people hungry, go. Wherever you find people thirsty, go. Where you find them imprisoned, go. Where you find them hurting, go. Where you find them lost, go. Go when you don't feel like it. Go when they don't want to hear it. Go when folks think you're crazy. Go when they call you a winehead. Go when they say you freak with prostitutes. Go! 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 Go in authority. Go in power. Go and bring them to the training camp. Church is disciple school. It's not a sideshow. It's disciple school. It's where we teach men how to be busy about the work of God. And in church, there's outside work that we've talked about, but then there's also inside work. And Pastor Harold talked about this. It's the work of equipping. And so in 1 Corinthians 12, 28, it says, and God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, and second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing and of helping and of guidance and of different kinds of tongues. God has placed all these gifts in the church. Ephesians 4 and 11 says, so Christ himself gave apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works. For works of service. So that the body of Christ might be built up. So that we all reach what Pastor Harold was talking about yesterday. Reach the unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of God. So awesome. Pastor Nate, as you look at me this evening, look at your work. Pastor Gil, look at your work. Look around you. See your work. God is good, isn't he? Let the works I've done speak for me. I want to see your work. And if you have no work to show, then I'm going to encourage you through the power invested in me. As one that speaks on behalf of God, I say to you tonight, put in work. Put in your work. Quit playing. Quit half-stepping. Put in work. Don't wait for me to do it. Don't wait for sister to do it. Don't wait for brother to do it. Don't wait for mama to do it. It's your work. Because the work that he does, the same work he's given you to do. So put in your work. Oftentimes we don't want our work to speak for us. We want all the wrong stuff to speak for us. We want the amount of money we have to speak for us. And that's why we ain't got no money, because we've been striving for things that don't matter. And whenever we get some, it's like putting it into a sack with holes in it. We want our education to speak for us. I'm the doctor so-and-so from the Dallas Theological Seminary. Want our possessions to speak for us, for our popularity. I spoke to 2,000 people. We want our family pedigree to speak for us. All my kids are in college. My father was so and so and so. I saw a lady downtown. In fact, she's been on my heart. I don't know her name, but she's homeless. And it seems like she's always on drugs. She comes up to me and she hugs me. I hug her back. I don't know what she's doing down on those dirty streets. She's never clean. But she starts saying this name, Mr. Kenneth Smith. I'm thinking, what is wrong with this girl? Mr. Kenneth Smith. And I'm saying, baby, take care of yourself. Okay, can you take care of yourself? And she's like, no. Mr. Kenneth Smith. That's my daddy. He said, that's my daddy. She's still looking for daddy to give her something that she never got. She's still looking to be validated by her daddy. To get some meaning and acceptance from him. To her, I'm a part of that pedigree. And so if you know him, then you know me. The Apostle Paul, when he was running down his pedigree, he said that I was circumcised on the eighth day. I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees. I studied under the feet of Gamaliel. I did all these. I'm a Jew of Jews. And if anybody had a reason to boast, it's me. And we all love to say, oh, the Apostle Paul. I want to be like Paul. I want to be like Peter. What'd you say yesterday, Harold? Some of them were hung upside down. But Paul, even in that same verse, he says, but I count all things as loss for the excellence of Christ. I count it, all my pedigree, I count it as nothing. He said, even I count it as dung. I tell you what that really means. But we got a lot of religious people here. And we got kids. But it's a little deeper than, yeah, it's boo-boo. But Paul uses the extreme slang word, scubala. Yeah. It's scubala. Yeah. And so what he's saying is, man, you ain't scubala. Everything you think you are, everything that you give weight to, it ain't scubala. We want who we know to speak for us. Our success in business, our biblical knowledge, our deepness, our purity. The life you live will speak for you. But what response will it yield from God? Well done, or depart from me? Are you trying to build your church, to build your empire, to build your thing? Are you willing to be his church, to be his kingdom, his empire, and to be his vessel? I'm going to read just two passages of scripture and we're done. I'll let it speak for itself. Matthew 25, 31 through 45. That boy's quick draw McGraw, ain't he? It says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one another as a shepherd separates his sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of all the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick and in prison and go to visit you? And the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. Have mercy, Jesus. They will also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me. And then they will go away to purgatory. Then they will get a slap on the hand and told, don't do it no more. No. Then they will go to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Last scripture, Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. The will, the work. The will, the work. Only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, I had a church of 10,000 members. I had 17 satellite sites where my face was on the screen in every one of them. I had 35 books. I had a Lexus, a Maserati, and a BMW. I had a $32 million mansion. Oh, that's not what they'll say. Many will say to me on that day, sorry, I got away from the scripture there. Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Hidiolo. And in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Miracles. We hosted thousands of miracle services. Jesus said, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. If you're doing the works for yourself, it's empty and it's void. But if you do the work that Jesus came to do, it's full of grace and full of power. Look at your work. I got some work in the room. We got work. I'm looking at my work. Your work is those kids. I know I'm going to ask some people to go out tonight. I think I'm going to preach this sermon some other time, but I'd rather be in the club. I should have been in the club tonight. Because there's somebody in the club. I used to preach. Now, what the heck are they doing? They was in a club all night Saturday. They got the nerve to come to church on Sunday. Where else should they go? They was in the club because they was lost and hurt and needed God. You should be glad they did come to church so that we have the opportunity to minister. But don't just wait for them to come. Let's get out there. Let's get out there. Really, Jesus says, when he says, go therefore and preach, he's saying, as you are going. In other words, you might be a street sweeper. But as you are sweeping streets, make disciples. You might be a school teacher. You might work with kids in elementary school. It doesn't matter. You might be an attorney. You might be in accounting. But as you go, preach. As you go, make disciples. As you go, find every opportunity to share salvation that is available to Jesus Christ. Because now is the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of the Lord's favor. And if anybody's walking in favor, we are walking in favor. So let's redeem the time because the days are evil. God bless you.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.